Oh, you know, the battle's not over, amen? We battle every single day. But you know, Jesus came and set the victory. He came and made the path for victory. Now we just have to walk in that path of victory. He came to be the example of how to battle, how to be consistent, how to be disciplined. It says that he was disciplined through his life all the way to the death of the cross. Oh, that we may be so disciplined. Does everybody understand that? He was faithful. He stayed obedient no matter what. He was able to stand. One of the greatest things that I always look at is, you know, so many people are always concerned about Job. Man, Job went through it. Job was one of the most victorious soldiers of the kingdom of God besides Jesus. You know why? Because he never failed. He didn't walk away. Even his own wife came out and said, man, why don't you just curse God and die? He lost everything. He lost his finances. He lost his home. He lost his children, his grand. He lost it all. Lost his health. Was scraping boils off of his body. And Satan kept coming to the Lord. All right, what else can I do with him? The Lord said, you can do this, but don't kill him. You can do this, but don't kill him. And not once did he curse God. And every time the devil did something to Job and he didn't react, he responded. It was a slap to the devil's face. See, the Lord used Job to get to the devil. That's what he wants to do with me and you. That's why it says, count all your trials and tribulations joy. Because we're going to go through it. The whole word is go through. It's not our end because he's the Alpha and Omega. He holds the beginning to the end. He always has the last say, no matter what. It's when we take the last say out of God's hands that we get in trouble. Amen? There's a battle going on. Would you turn to Matthew 16? Matthew 16 and verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, and he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And you know, Jesus is always leading them into something. So, in other words, when he asks you a question, believe me, there's training involved. It says that he tests the hearts and minds of his people. So there's always training involved. Why? Jesus is always trying to train us to be like him. So he said to them, okay, I hear that, but now let me ask you a personal question. Who do you say I am? You know, so many people just look at Jesus as Savior, not Lord. Not only does he save us, but he wants to be Lord. When he's Lord over your life, you no longer have a life. But you have a lifetime warranty. See, people don't understand the fullness of God, the Creator. See, we don't use God as just Savior. There's personal relationship when he becomes Lord. Because when he becomes Lord, he becomes Father. I'm going to say that again. When he becomes Lord, he becomes Father. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as Father yet, then he's only Savior. When you know him as Lord, he becomes Father. Does everybody understand that? He becomes what? Father. See, he's no longer the Son. He only came as the Son, but he was actually the Father as the Son. Because he had to become the Son into this realm. So the Father took a part of himself and called him Son. He said, now I'm going to manifest my word. Why? Because he spoke it. And he sent it into the world. He carried purified blood to cleanse everyone's blood. He carried a brand new inheritance. He carried eternal life. He carried the anointing. He was the anointing. He was the eternal presence and power of truth and truth of God Almighty put into a body. The Bible says that a body was prepared for him. That body was called the anointing. Does everybody understand? That was the mantle. That was God's mantle. The body of Jesus Christ was the anointing. He was known as the tabernacle. The way, the truth, and the life. And they said to him, well, who do you say that I am? Am I God to you? Am I Savior to you? Am I Lord to you? Who am I to you? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. 1 out of 12, that wasn't too bad. The Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, on this revelation, on the anointing that I am the Christ, I'm going to build my church." So I want you to understand that the church of God, the body of Christ, is built on the anointing of God. Without the anointing, you and I are nothing. That's why you know a lot of people that can quote the word, speak the word, and tell you the page numbers, but they got no power. Because the Bible says the letter kills and the spirit brings life. Because the spirit is the anointing. That's the difference between religion and relationship. Because relationship has to do with association of his presence. His presence is what brings relationship. Again, there is no eternal life through knowledge. There's only eternal life through Jesus. Now he says, "And on this rock I will build my church." And there's something important he says. Would you read it with me? "And the what? The gates of Hades shall not prevail against the anointing." I want to share something with you. Gates are open ports. There's gates. A gate is open and shut. These are open ports. And he said, "In the gates of Hades," Hades is also known as a spirit itself. He's one of the ruling spirits. But it's also associated as a place known as also in hell, a chamber of hell. It's called Hades. Why? Because it is a port. And he said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail." And then he says, listen to this, "And I'm going to give you the keys." The keys to what? The gates. Does everybody got it? The keys to the gates, so that I'm going to give you dominion over those ports. And what comes through them, I'm going to give you dominion. But there's something you must be backed by, the anointing. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth, whatever you speak in the natural realm, will be bound in the spiritual realm, heaven. And whatever you loose in the natural realm will be loose in the spiritual realm." Does everybody understand that? These are called keys. Let me tell you, you know how many people don't even know what a key is in the kingdom? And they're called themselves believers and they don't even use them? These are keys. These are released through the anointing. They're released through what? The anointing, which is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. And the carrier of it now is the Holy Spirit. He's the carrier of the anointing. Again, the body of Christ is built on the anointing. That's why it's important to praise and worship. Why? Because the anointing comes from the what? Presence of God. So who doesn't want you to worship? Those are spirits. They don't want you to get into God's presence where keys are released, where you're filled with and baptized in the Holy Spirit, where you stay filled with the presence of God, and you are discerning. See, through this, you walk in both realms. You see one side and you see the other. Jesus walked in both realms. There are so-called believers that are only saved. Only through that anointing can he become Lord, because relationship is built with presence. You know, you can read a Sports Illustrated, and you can know the statistics of every athlete. You can know their address. You can know their age, their birthday. You can even send them a gift and never meet them, never really know them. Unfortunately, that's a lot what's going on in today's Christianity. It's a lot of religion. See, because if the whole body of Christ, and I'm talking about the body of Christ, that means the body of the anointing, was filled, and if the individuals do their part and stay filled, they'd be using these keys instead of getting run over by the devil every day and speaking things they shouldn't speak and allowing the enemy to cause them to think that the ways they shouldn't think. You know why? Because they bind, blind, mute, and deaf those voices. They cast those things out, cast them out. They get in God's presence and get back into relationship instead of religion. And they carry the presence of God and be more dangerous. Because only through the anointing do you carry the sword of the Spirit. Other than that, you just carry a sack of seed. People are throwing seeds at the devil. Oh! They're slewfoot. And they call the devil all kinds of names like it's going to do something. No, man, you need to use your keys and get them back where they came from. Send them back through the ports. Does everybody understand? "And I will give you the keys. And whatever you bind on earth in the natural realm, whatever comes out of your mouth in this side is affecting the other side. How many times people don't use the keys? Daily. But I'm going to tell you something. If you start off every morning using the keys, you don't have to be concerned later. That's why the Bible says, bind the strong men before you enter, that you may plunder the goods of the evil one. If people really learn spiritual warfare, and listen, people go to school, they go to learn things that, you know why they go to school? To become somebody so they can make money. What's their main purpose? You need to get a job. I need to have money. You know what you need to have? The anointing. Because in God's presence, every provision is met. See, but the enemy doesn't want us to abide. He doesn't want us to abide in the presence, in the fellowship, in the word. He doesn't want us to do it. He wants to break that up constantly. Well, I just don't have time to get in God's presence anymore. I'm too busy trying to find a job. Stupid! It blows me away. How dumb can we still be and breathe? It gets to that point of like, my gosh. I pray the Lord lasso people and start dragging them into his house. They've exchanged the zeal for the world for God and God's house for the zeal for the ways of the world. They're more concerned about losing their things instead of gaining God's presence. That's deception. And that's no soldier of the Most High. None whatsoever. Oh, hallelujah. It's our responsibility to use these keys to access the gates of hell and shut up their operations. It's our responsibility. You can call on Jesus all day. You know what he does? He answers you and puts you in a place to be trained up. Has everybody got it? What does he do? He puts you in a place to be what? Trained up. Didn't the disciples follow him? Were they getting trained up? Yeah. And then he told them, it's to your advantage I leave you. And they freaked out. What do you mean? We can't do it without you. Don't worry about it. I won't be outside of you anymore. I'm going to send my spirit. I've been your savior long enough. Now I'm going to be your Lord. It's time to get slam dunked, filled, speak my language, see the way that I see, hear the way I hear. Why? Because I want you to be me now. See, that's why he said deny yourself. Why? Because he's saying don't be you no more, will you? See, we were born in the image and likeness of darkness. We must be born again in the image and likeness of Christ. And he says, I want you to be me. You know, after my visitation from the Lord, I'm telling you, I was filled. I've never been filled so much with God's presence since. I didn't walk here. It was hard for me. My wife had to hold onto my ankles and bring me down all the time. Guy, where are you going? Come here. And that was going on for a couple months. I was no longer Guy. I was Jesus. I mean, I didn't proclaim myself as Jesus. You understand that? But I was Jesus. I knew his character. I was so filled with him that I just wanted to lay hands on everyone and watch them get healed and filled. I would go out and sit down to breakfast. We'd be sitting down to breakfast. People were falling off their chairs. I didn't say a word because his presence, I was so saturated with his presence and his glory. We couldn't even eat breakfast. We just start laughing and getting drunk at the table. This went on for months. Man. I called the Holy Spirit, buddy, what are we doing now? Come on, let's go over here and mess up this. Okay. There's a place of presence. There wasn't anything more I wanted. I was a chump, bum, thief, liar, and addict. Unfulfilled. And you know what? I lost it all. Divorce, nothing, abandoned, everybody. Man, here comes Guy, lock up the house. I didn't even make it to the front door. I was just walking up the driveway. Quick, put on their clothes. No one's home. I lost everything. Went into my own home that was in foreclosure. All the furniture was gone. No electricity, no running water. But you know what? I was happy. I had everything I ever wanted. Him. I didn't want anything else. I was fully content. And I was like, man, I didn't do anything. And I'm so happy and joyful and full of content. You can take me home right now. I'm done. But he had another plan. You'll notice that the things that you want are usually not what he wants. Or the things that you're expecting God to do the way you want him to do it, just don't do it. Doesn't happen. Because he knows exactly what we need. And we think we know what we need. Or how we need to do it. But let me tell you, in his presence, everything is revealed. Everything is revealed. Everything is there in his presence. So we battle through all of our foolishness, our flesh, our desires, our will, our thoughts, our perversions, all of our failures, our successes. We battle through everything to get to his presence. And too many times people don't get there. They quit before they battle through. They stop. Then they blame God. Oh, God, why haven't you done this? No, why haven't you done this? Why haven't you laid that down yet? People trying to get in God's presence with all this luggage. All right, wait a minute, I'm coming. It's like somebody trying to catch a plane. You know, they're carrying all this luggage, trying to get in God's presence. It keeps getting stuck, see, because they don't want to let it go. There was one thing that I learned in following the Lord is that you got to let things go because you can't follow if you're still holding on. It's impossible. It's impossible. You got to let things go. You know why? Because he wants to bring you something new. And we still want to hold on to the old. People still want to hold old relationships. This and, man, let me tell you, until you let things go, it can't be new. It just can't be. One of the things that we're battling right now, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 4, verse 8. Would you read it with me there? Ephesians 4. Verse 8, therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Verse 9, now this he what? Ascended. What does this mean? But that he first also what? Descended. He first what? Descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And I want to share something with you powerfully here because he tells Peter about the anointing. He tells him about the gates. He tells him that he gives him the keys and they come from his presence through the anointing. He said, I've given you everything. Then in the book of Ephesians, through Paul, he explains the area that his battles, here's the three battles. The battle's not only on earth, it's in the earth and it's in the heavenlies. Does everybody understand it? See, he tells us about three realms of battle. It's on the earth, in the earth, and in the heavenlies. Not only physically, but spiritually. Now, we know that our battle is spiritual, but there's a spiritual battle on the earth, there's a spiritual battle in the earth, and there's a spiritual battle in the heavenlies. And these are the areas that he's given us keys to utilize. Each one of these areas on the earth, and in the heavenlies are entrance and exit ports. These are called gates of Hades because they're associated with Satan's kingdom. One of the ports is over the Bermuda Triangle. There are many ports. They're going to probably tell you this Malaysian plane has been found eventually or something. I doubt it. I doubt anything happened to it, but it was taken. That's just my opinion. Ephesians chapter 6, and verse 12. We all know this. To confirm what Jesus was saying, he says, for we do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities. Principalities are princes. These are principalities in the heavenlies. These are princes and rulers. They're also known as kings that reign over nations, cities, and towns. They're associated with territorial spirits. It says, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. He explains all three realms. These are demonic forces. You are not fighting physical. You are fighting spiritual forces, a battle of the unseen realms on the earth, in the earth, and in the heavenlies. I'm going to say it again. The unseen realms of the earth, and in the heavenlies. And it is an everyday battle. One of the purposes that they do, Satan's kingdom, and we've got another teaching on this, wants to shed human blood. Their people battle over sacrificial of human blood. The more offerings they could offer, the more power or advantage or position they get. They get ranked. The word tells us that even the certain kingdoms were given power through the dragon. Lucifer is also known as the dragon. in Leviticus 18. You see a lot of movie stars, they say they overdose. Majority of them have been murdered. I believe Michael Jackson was murdered. I believe Whitney Houston was murdered. They were all offered as a sacrifice. Why? Because they sold their souls to Satan to get that fame and fortune. And for it to be passed on, somebody had to be murdered. 9/11 was a murder session. What did they build there? A mosque of a Muslim. Come on, man. Yes, things are happening. We're in it, and time is almost done. So strap in. Get ready and learn, or you're going to get burned. The book of Leviticus. Is everybody there? I'm working on it here. 18. Leviticus 18 and verse 21. Would you read it with me? You shall not let... Is everybody there? Okay. You shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire of Moloch, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Moloch. It's spelled multiple ways. In fact, many times they tried to hide themselves by changing their names or spellings. Even Jesus said, woe to the scribes. Believe me, he knew what they were doing. That's why without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get this. Moloch. It's spelled multiple ways. In Leviticus 20, he said, don't let your descendants pass through the fire with that. In chapter 20, in verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, again you shall say to the children of Israel, whoever of the children of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel who gives any of his descendants to Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from his people because he has given some of his descendants to Moloch to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name. And if the people of the land should see any way hide their eyes from the man when he gives some of his descendants to Moloch, they do not kill him, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off from his people and all who prostitute themselves with him to commit harlotry with Moloch. Moloch is the god of abortion. Is everybody with me? He is associated with the sacrificial of children. He is a deity with Baal. He's chased his children and accepts them in sacrifice so that he can gain position with Lucifer. And Acts 7, the spirit of Moloch. Welcome to Sunday morning training. We don't have Bible studies, we have training sessions. You want to be religious, go to a Bible study. This is a training. B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth, right? Basic. Acts 7 and verse 43, I believe it is. Let's start at 42. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it was written in the book of the prophets. Did you offer me slaughtered animals and sacrifices during 40 years in the wilderness? Animals, hello? That were animals. He wasn't looking for kids. He's not interested in human sacrifices. He came to rescue humans from being sacrificed. O house of Israel, 43, you also took up the tabernacle of Moloch, the star of your god, Ramphan, images which you made to worship. I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Now, the star, that star, see, they all have symbolic symbols. Remember, God named the stars. Every star is named. And the angels are named after stars. So so we know that there's a fallen angel that's being worshipped here, which we know is associated with Lucifer, who is a cherub, amen. And in that star, they said, you lifted up his star and you worshiped him. Moloch, you've given your children. In other words, Moloch was a statue which his hands were set out. He was also worshipped as an owl. In fact, an owl is on our money. We'll talk a little bit more about this. But he had a head of a bull also. And his hands were out. He was bronze. And the flames would come up. and they would put the children on his hands, and the flames would come up so much that they would begin to chant so loud because they wanted to drown out the children's screams. And it would look like when the flames would come up that he was eating the children. The Israelites fell into play with this. Solomon fell into play with this. It is worshipped all over the world. Even this own country worships Moloch through abortion. He's a deity worshipped by the Ammonites, Canaanites. He's known as the king of child sacrifice for Baal. In Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. In verse 31. 32, 31. For this city has been to me a provocation of my anger. Is everybody there? And my fury from the day that they built it, even to this day, so I will remove it from before my face because of all the evil of the children of Israel and the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger. They, their kings, their princes, their priests, their prophets, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And they have turned to me the back and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not listened to receive instruction. But they set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire of Moloch, which I did not command them, nor did it come into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Now, therefore, says the Lord God, the God of Israel, concerning this city of which you say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, by famine, and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all the countries where I have driven them in my anger and in my fury and in great wrath. I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. So in this we see God's redeeming here, but he scattered them. Why? Because they sent their children through the fire. Again, this country is doing this now. In fact, the world is doing this now. In 1 Kings chapter 11, this is a spirit that must be bound every single day, the spirit of Moloch. In verse 6, 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 6. Now I want to just step back for a minute. If individuals were binding and loosening every day and doing their part in warfare, there would be more victory. See, to people, prayer is what you can give me. It's not what he can give you. It's what you can give him. That's what he's looking for. In verse 6, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord, as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Shamash, the abomination of Moab, on the high hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for his foreign wives, who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. In other words, they were sacrificing children. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice, and then commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. That's why Solomon lost the kingdom. I'd like to go to Amos. Amos 5. Verse 18. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Amos 5, verse 18. Is everybody okay? Woe to you who are... Amos 5:18. Is everybody there? Praise God. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord, for what good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion. and a bear met him. Or as though he went into the house, leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it? I hate, I despise your feast days. I do not savor your sacrifice, your sacred assemblies. Though you offer to me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. But let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream. Did you offer me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness for 40 years of the house of Israel? You also carried Sukkoth, your king, and Sharah, your idols, the star of your gods, which you made for yourselves. This Sukkoth is known as Moloch. Therefore, I will send you into captivity beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. So God was angry at them. He said, I'm not going to hear another thing you got to say, and even your songs I'm going to ignore. All your requests, why? Because you allow these high altars. You put pagans, you put things before me. You rely on your own strength. You rely on your own abilities. You don't trust me, and I won't hear you until you turn your face to me and stop giving me your back and building altars for other gods. And one of them was Moloch. Now, Moloch was also associated with an Egyptian god. Most of the time, he's represented by an owl, occult symbolisms. There's also organizations called the Cyprus Coat of Arms, who has the owl. This is today. It's on money, it's on financial institutes, it's on corporations, it's in the streets of Washington, it's on governmental buildings. The Seventh-day Adventists have it also. There's an event that they do every year, it's called the Bohemian Grove. All presidents and government elite go to it. It is a secret location that they choose every year. Once a year, they go there and they worship. There have been individuals who have snuck in and recorded these places. And they do a sacrificial offering, and they worship the owl as they bow down to Moloch. That's why abortions haven't ceased, because for them to keep their positions, they must offer up blood. Now, you may think this is crazy, but this is called reality. And it's time that people woke up. They believe that this will give them great wisdom. There's an owl that's put in even our educational books. Can be also represented as a bull or a dog. It is a body of a man, but a head of a bull. Again, its arms are stretched out. Moloch. There's also a Moloch Horbius. They found it's in Australia. It's a lizard. It's called the dragon, Moloch dragon. And it's an Australian lizard. It grows from 8 to 10 inches big. And it looks just like a dragon, but it's protected by an armor of shelled spikes all over its body. In Mark chapter 9, Moloch is a spirit being of demonic forces. Too many people are getting up and not warfaring. We must be first strikers now. I don't know if you noticed or not, but there is a increase of presence of evil. There's an increase of perversion and lust. There's an increase of anger and hatred. It's all over. It's pressing on every side. There's an increase of deception and delusion. There's an increase constantly. And let me tell you, as the enemy is increasing, and the word even tells us that imposters and so forth, evil will increase. The transgressions will increase. It's your and my responsibility to increase in the spirit, or we'll be overtaken. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 41, would you read it with me? Whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it will be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell into fire that shall never be quenched. In other words, anyone who does these. Now, there's, it's not just the area of doing it. It's the area of approving it. In Romans chapter 1, harm to any one of these little children, it's an abomination to sacrifice children to Moloch through abortion. This bloodshed, God will judge with his wrath. Romans chapter 1. There was a woman that was given testimony. She was one of the ones that's initiated parent planhood. What is it? Planned Parenthood, okay. Planned Parenthood. She finally came to grips because of the guilt and condemnation and the conviction. And she came straight out and said, I killed 35,000 children. She wept about it. She said, we did it for money. That was the whole purpose of it. It was backed by the government. They figured that they gave out condoms that were not good. They knew that one out of every three women would get pregnant and have at least three children or three abortions. They were calculated all of this. So they would convince them, if anything happens, you know we're here to help you. They would not let them leave until they convinced to have an abortion if they got pregnant, knowing that they would. They started with one facility and built many of them. She said they did abortions up to 9 months of pregnancy. She said there was blood all over the places. She went in. Some of the nurses would pass out. She said it was sickening. They were throwing babies away that were still screaming into the garbage, trying to crush their heads. I know this sounds gross, but this is reality. Why? They were offering up to Moloch. Maybe they didn't even know it. Money was their motive. But there was another spiritual motive behind it because these doctors and nurses cooperated. They started with one place. They went to 30. They built 35 other locations, something to that degree. But after multiple, she said, I'm even guilty of killing my own child. But after multiple years, she came face to face and confessed that I killed 35,000 children. That's a lot of children that God sent into this world to be Jesus-like. 35,000. In Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to the uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves a penalty of their error, which is due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy and murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. I think abortion is an inventor of an evil thing. Disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So even those who approve it will be sentenced to death. according to God. Listen, we have an administration in this country that approves abortion. They approve it. They proclaim to be Christ-like. They're not Christians. I doubt they're even humans. Their purpose is to bring down the country and kill as many children as they can so they can stay in position. This may sound strange to you, but when the scales come off of your eyes, you'll be able to see. Time is running out. It's our responsibility to utilize the keys of the kingdom and send them back through those ports and bind these spirits, blind them, mute them, and deaf them, and cast them down, cast them out, and send them back to the pit, because that's where they belong until they are judged. Amen? The spirit of Moloch, he is real. If he wasn't real, there wouldn't be abortions. Lucifer is real. Satan is real. The dragon is real. Demons are real. They are real. And the Bible says that we're to cast these things out. We're to take dominion over them. Word tells us that we are kings and priests. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing and seated in heavenly places. The word tells us that it is an honor to commit judgment on them. And this honor have his children. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word and your training today. We all touch and agree right now. And we take dominion and authority and unity and the power of your spirit. And according to your word, that won't return void. And we bind, blind, mute, and deaf every spirit of Moloch in this country. Every principality of Moloch. Every territorial spirit. We bind them, blind them, mute them, and deaf them. We cast them to the pit in the name of Jesus. We call destructive fire down on every abortion clinic in this country. And we ask that you destroy these places and rescue those who have been taken captive, placing them in your house with healing and deliverance in the name of Jesus. And Lord, those that are before you today, those that are watching and listening, those that are hearing this message today, Lord, I pray that you'll give them boldness to stand. I pray that you'll give them boldness to fight through themselves into your presence, that they be backed by the anointing and that they'll utilize the keys that you descended on to grab hold of and you ascended to release through your presence. Lord, bless your people and bring reality to them and prosper them according to your will in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.